right, second session. Same rules apply. God's word remains true. Be in fellowship. Get yourself in fellowship. Fight your STA. In here, out there, wherever it is. And that's the way we're to function as believers. So, where were we? All right, here's where we were. That's my job. The principle is that comes off of this whole thing that we're not here to serve ourselves exclusively. We're here to be service to one another and other members of the royal family as God brings them into our periphery. And the more doctrine we learn, the more we know how to conduct and behave ourselves and be there for one another. We are to do good to all men, but especially, I'm quoting the verse, but especially to those who are of the household of faith, reads positive volition. They get priority, not others. So, speaking of service and serving others, there's a great blessing in that for believers who are aware of and conscious of the needs of other believers, whether it's simply verbal encouragement, exhortation, whether it is physical help, assistance of any kind, minor or major. We have a responsibility to the other members, and here, of course, our first priority is to other members of the royal family who attend Maranatha Church. And that we will do what we have to do, what we need to do, to help anyone else out under any set of circumstances where they need spiritual, moral, or physical assistance. That's just basic. We're not islands to ourselves. We just come here and go. That doesn't mean you have to crank up anything. God will put it in front of you as an individual, and you can do whatever the situation calls for. So in regards to service, in our verse 8 here from first session, for I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision. He could have said to the Jew. The circumcision is technical here for the Jewish race. That's the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. The covenant God made with Abraham in his old age. Through his life, God continued to add things to it and reiterating it. See how you have a doctrine of the Abrahamic covenant. God made a series of covenants with the Jews. And this is the Abrahamic covenant, of which the sign was that all male children that are Jews were to be circumcised on the third day after birth. That's when their blood would properly coagulate. See, it's medically sound too. a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers. Promises given to the fathers, these are the Jewish ancestors, the patriarchs, the promises given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and handed down through the centuries. These are the promises he made to those men. And Abraham is the head of it, the first brought out. You're a new race. Why? I said you were. You're Hebrew. The one who passes over the river. And Abraham is the father of this race, the original ancestor. But he was tested. We're all tested. If you don't like testing as a Christian, don't bother with doctrine. You will be tested. And it's important that you pass those tests rather than fall on your face. Oh, you can stumble. Oh, you can get out of fellowship, even do something stupid, and rebound and straighten out your thinking and get back on track. That's the beauty of God's plan. It isn't all or nothing. In a lot of different endeavors in life, you're out of here. That's it. But the Christian way of life has a bunch of grace and mercy built into it to a point. You can't thumb your nose at the directive will of God and check out of this life and be in good shape. You'll go to heaven, you'll get your body, but you won't get the big reward. Now, if you don't want that, okay. But I don't want to live at any time in history, and certainly not at this absolute bonkers world we live in right now without God on my side. I want to be able to say, you see all these, I don't know what you get in emails. I get all these, I get a lot of health ones. Natural health, do this, get rid of this, get blah, blah, blah. And then I get all these gloom and doom, if you don't put your money here, and blah, blah, blah. God is my gold. He's my banker. Whatever circumstances, if I'm in the will of God, He'll bless me and take care of me. He's made me certain promises that I hold him to him. This is the promises that you will feed, you will clothe, and you will shelter me, and you'll take care of me, and you will not put me through something I can't handle. And if I am going through something that is severe, then I can handle it, ipso facto, because I'm going through it. God is not, there's all this stuff about economic collapse and your money's going to be worthless and it's going to be digital and you better get your money. And I don't have time for it. I don't have time for it. God is my money. God is my gold. Bible doctrine is my gold. It's going to pay, it already has, but it is going to pay unbelievable dividends. It may not appear it now, but it will. So can God do anything? Can God take someone and there are people all around them are dying and they're not? Yes. I've heard stories about people. It wasn't their time to die. Maybe they were at the time they weren't saved. But they were going to be later, okay? And this guy stands up in front of a machine gun nest. They're shooting straight at him. And he said he isn't falling. Angels are out there deflecting these bullets. And other people, So there's all these stories about people who survived what would otherwise be certain death. Maybe you had one of those kind of accidents in your life. I mean, I've had some close ones. The one I like to tell about. I look back at my life and I look back at these things where God delivered me from things. Even from my own stupidity. Or mistakes. Bad judgment. Like taking my car with Brenda and going back to her folks in Illinois across the river, St. Louis, for Christmas one year. Coming up out of Conway, Arkansas. And got on the mountains of Missouri and the roads just glazed over. I'm coming over a hill. It's dark. You can see car lights all the way down coming up through the deal. And I have this 1967 Oldsmobile Cutlass that was terrible on wet roads. It fishtailed. Well, we turned and went off and stuck that thing just like that in the ditch over on the where the cars are coming the other way. In no time, a wrecker was there. Pulled it out, put us in a crummy motel for Christmas Eve. The only damage, it sheared off my rear shocks. It just sheared them off. And so I drive the rest of the way in bright sunshine. Missouri cleans its roads up real fast. Drove on to St. Louis and beyond in this rocking chair. See, that could have been a lot worse. But the number of things that stood out, one is we didn't have cell phones, obviously. They were not even in our thinking. And here comes this wrecker. Somebody must have told him. I don't know. There's a car in a ditch down there. Because it was, we didn't sit there very long in the cold. See? So, God delivers. God has a plan for the righteous. Just stay on track with doctrine. Don't let any of this stuff upset you and pull you away. It's sad. That's the unfun part of my ministry, is watching people go down. People that have been here longer than some of you. And we're doing the right things. It wasn't like they were dummies. And I still have some that are, you know, what are you thinking? At this late stage, at any stage, what are you thinking? What are you pursuing that's taking you away from face-to-face teaching? What can I do? They're fully capable because they've heard it all and agreed with it. Okay, back to this. In this regard, and the point of the previous class is something we all well know. The plan of God does not discriminate based on race or any other factor you could possibly name. Those that will do what they're supposed to do, whatever their background, that's not an issue. Wherever they came from, it doesn't matter. The kingdom of God will have a lot of people who were, in time, before their conversion, big-time sinners. Big-time. And they came to salvation, and others, some, took it further. So in the verses, and then beginning with verse 9, we have four quotations from the Old Testament. These four quotations are designed to show from the Old Testament. See, the Jews got messed up about, some of them, got messed up about their attitude towards the Gentiles. That's what happens when you get away from salvation. Oh, it's Gentiles. That isn't the approach you're supposed to have. No, you don't agree with their idolatry and all their corruption, but you are to be a witness to them. But if you don't even have salvation straight, how can you be a witness to anybody? You can't. And that's the state they were in at the first advent. And that's the state they're in today, with some exceptions. But that's not enough to make a difference. They got all this stuff going on, all the externals, all the how great the Bible is, and this is the end time, and this is Bible prophecy, and you don't have who the Messiah is straight. Wow. You missed that? You got all kinds of scripture that shows you that he would come and be rejected and all he would suffer. The suffering servant. At your hands or at the hands of your people. You can't get that from the Old Testament? How do you just ignore and wash over that? They're all in favor of God bringing the Jews back from all the nations, and they talk about this all the time. That part's right. But they don't say, why did we get kicked out? Why did we get kicked out of the land? If we were so straight. You weren't. And you've been evicted. Scattered among the nations. And suffered all the things you suffered out there among the nations. To this day. And what about those verses that said, I'm going to bring you back in the last days. But it doesn't have anything to do with your righteousness. Nothing to do with your righteousness. The timing factor is perfect. Because a generation of them is going to come on the stage, and they're going to pull it together. They're not going to act like their fathers. They're going to turn to Christ and accept their true Messiah. And away we go in the tribulation. Both in and out of Israel. But up to this day. And Christians come over there, and I don't mean to treat them bad, but they're over there like we're equals. You're not. That person that is such your good Jewish friend, practicing Jew, religious Jew, He's going to hell, short of believing in Christ. Don't you think you ought to make an issue out of that? You care about anybody? Oh, I don't want to offend anybody. Then you shouldn't be functioning as a Christian, because doctrine offends negative volition. You tell them the way something is, and they're not on board with it, yeah, it's offensive. We're not going to tiptoe around obvious truth in the Bible. We're going to teach it. You don't like it? Well, you can sit here and be miserable or leave. Anyway, he is a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers. And we were looking at that in connection with Christ became the minister as God of the Abrahamic covenant. And in his humanity, he made it possible all this to be a reality, of which circumcision was the sign. Abraham was circumcised in his old age. Looks like it's adding insult to injury, but it isn't. God chooses the signs. Circumcision is a sign of this covenant with you. Between me and you, I'm party of the first part. This is my promises. And Abraham, finally, this was instituted. And in Genesis 17, then God said to Abraham, new name. Well, it's modified. The father of nations. Peoples. That's what the name means. Av means father. Father of nations. He said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai. You will call her Sarah. That means princess, by the way, in Hebrew. I will bless her. And indeed, I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Not immediately from her body, but ancestors. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. Did he laugh out loud at what God just said? Or is his laughter, is it incredulity, or is it just funny? It's humorous. Because God says the baby's going to come, Sarah's going to have a child, at least one. She had one, that was it. It's only one that counted, needed. And said in his heart, so he's probably got manners and he isn't laughing out loud. It's not audible. It's funny to him. It's funny to him that will a child be born to a man 100 years old, and will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Unheard of. Well, apparently, yes. She is 90. God says a baby's going to come from her, so she's going to have to be fixed up. It's going to have to be a miracle. God's going to have to redo her and your physiology and that area of your bodies. Period. He's upholding his part of the covenant. You're being tested, taken right to the edge. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. He wants to play the Ishmael card. See, Abraham isn't 100% on board with this yet. He's a growing believer. I look at it and I say to myself, you haven't got this figured out yet, but I shouldn't go there. I got my weaknesses too, and things that caused me to stumble with regard to faith. But here's the thing. If God says you're going to produce a descendant who will produce a descendant down the road to this Messiah and onward and upward, then it must mean that he's going to enable me to do what I need to do so I can have a child. And I don't have to worry about it. Oh, I'll think about it. And oh, he took me to the point where the situation is hopeless, humanly. Those are nothing to God. He raises the dead. Sets them back on their feet. things we're going to get to see are mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. Glad to have you on board. But God said, no. See, you know how people treat God? Like they go, I'm some real soft-spoken. Do you know how to tell somebody no? No. But Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I'm naming him. You know what Isaac means in the Hebrew? Laughter. God has a sense of humor. You laughed, we're going to call him Little Laughter. Hey, Laughter, come here. That's the Hebrew word for laugh, Isaac. You'll call him Isaac. And I'll establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, where did Ishmael come from? That was Sarah's idea. I got an Egyptian handmaid. You go sleep with her and get her pregnant, and we will take that kid. Energy of the flesh. I got to make it happen. I got to help God. So what happened? Boom, she gets pregnant instantly. And walks around with this baby growing in her stomach and serving Sarah and provoking Sarah, not with words, but and that kicking Sarah's skunk, her SDA. So she started persecuting Hagar. Well, I'll bore you with this again. I'm driving down the interstate in Jerusalem, in Israel. Signs advertising like we have here. There's a rental car place. You know what the name of it was? Hagar Rent-A-Car. The Jews must have a sense of humor. So she gave birth instantly to this Ishmael. And that's why you have billions and billions of Arabs on earth. Came from Ishmael. And so when he was 13 and Isaac was just being weaned at age 3, they're having a weaning party event, and he's poking fun at Isaac. Oh, it ticks Sarah off no end. Get her out of here. And Abraham liked Ishmael. He didn't hate the boy. He favored him. And God took Abraham aside and said, listen to Sarah. So he had to give Hagar and this 13-year-old boy a backpack and hit the road and go out into that wilderness. God has a plan for everything he does. Hagar got to a point. She separated herself from the boy. They were thirsty as they could be. And she said, I just don't want to watch him die. And God appeared to her and said, I'm going to make a great nation of him. And by the way, there's a well right over there. And this 13-year-old became a tough dude. He was raised up and had to survive out in that wilderness. But he was a warrior. His hand against every man. And he got this group of people and built this thing up. Father of nations. I told you. God could have stopped them from Operation Hagar, but he didn't. You know when Abraham died? Guess who showed up to bury him? Well, of course, Isaac was there. Ishmael. He came back. They speak about the reconciliation between the Jews and the Arabs, the Ishmael branch. I'm not talking about the Palestinians. That's another matter. That I think is the Edomite connection. Apart from these radical clerics, The Jews and the Arabs get along pretty good. The town Jesus was born in, that whole village, now it's a city, Nazareth. You can look up the population. Right down the middle, this is the Jewish side, this is the Arab side. And they're not throwing rocks at each other. As for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I'll bless him, make him fruitful, and multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac. That's the messianic line. Whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year. So with a 9-month pregnancy factor, there were 3 months in there. And they were waiting in silence for this physiological thing, transformation of their anatomy. I'll bet they felt it. You don't take a woman of her age and enable her to bear a child and breastfeed and blah blah blah. You just don't do it without them noticing the difference. And in those 3 months before the transformation, the miracle, their faith rests in it. They're keeping their mouths shut and realizing, no, there's nothing we can do. We tried the Hagar thing. We tried to promote Ishmael. No. We're just going to wait. We're going to be calm. And one day they both were capable of doing you know what. And 9 months later, little laughter comes on the scene. Because there is humor in all this too, you know. And life of Abraham's a real hoot, as it really is. And I'll establish this. When he finished talking with Abraham, he went up from him. So there was some kind of a visual thing, not just words out of the sky. He went up from him. Now, take the doctrine, take the promise, and go faith rest it. Enjoy yourself. This has only happened twice, as far as I know, in the Bible and history, where an old couple were made capable of having children as if they were young. And that's the parents of John the Baptist. It happened to them. So that's the God we serve, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's get in position to observe the Lord's table.